Have you ever boarded a wide-body jet, settled into your seat, and thought, this airplane is older than some of the pilots flying it? If you've flown United lately on a transatlantic route, there's a decent chance you were sitting inside a Boeing 767 that rolled off the assembly line in the 1990s, and United has no plans to park them anytime soon. I'm Tower, and this is Atiz on Radio Hangar. Let's talk about why one of the world's largest airlines is hanging onto an airframe that most carriers have already sent to the desert. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's the situation. United Airlines currently operates dozens of Boeing 767-300s. Some of these jets are approaching 30 years of service. In an industry that loves to talk about fuel efficiency, next-generation cabins, and carbon reduction targets, keeping 30-year-old widebodies flying sounds like a contradiction, but when you dig into the numbers, it actually makes perfect sense. Here's what you need to know. The 767 occupies a very specific niche in United's network. It's a medium-capacity widebody. It can fly transatlantic routes comfortably with somewhere around 200 to 270 passengers, depending on configuration. That puts it in a sweet spot between the narrow-body planes United uses domestically and the massive 777s and 787s. It flies on high-demand long-haul routes. Think about a route like Newark to Lisbon or Washington Dulles to Dublin. These are markets with solid demand, but they don't need a 350-seat airplane. A 767 fills just enough seats to make the route profitable without oversupplying the market. If United tried to serve these routes with a bigger jet, they'd either have to drop fares to fill the extra seats or fly with empty rows. Neither option makes the accountants happy. Now, the obvious question, why not just replace them with Boeing 787 Dreamliners? And this is where the story gets interesting. United would love to do exactly that. The 787 burns roughly 20 to 25% less fuel per seat than the 767. It has better range. Passengers prefer it. The maintenance costs are lower on a younger airframe. On paper, it's a no-brainer. But here's the problem. Boeing can't build them fast enough. The 787 production line has been plagued with delays, quality control issues, and supply chain disruptions going back years. United has 787s on order, but the delivery timeline keeps slipping. Every quarter that a new Dreamliner doesn't show up is another quarter that a 30-year-old 767 stays on the line. And it's not just Boeing's production challenges. The global aviation supply chain is still recovering from the disruptions of the early 2020s. Engines, avionics, even basic components like fasteners and wiring harnesses are all on extended lead times. Building a new airplane is harder and slower than it's been in decades. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though. There's another factor at play, and it's one that doesn't get enough attention. These 767s are paid for. United owns them outright. There are no lease payments, no financing costs. The capital expenditure happened years ago. So when you compare the operating cost of a paid-off 767 against the total cost of ownership of a brand new 787, including purchase price, financing, and insurance on a new airframe, the math changes. Yes, the 767 burns more fuel. Yes, maintenance on an older airplane costs more. But fuel and maintenance are variable costs. A monthly payment on a $300 million airplane is a fixed cost that hits whether you fly the jet or not. As long as the 767 is safe, certified, and filling seats, it's generating revenue on an airframe that's essentially free from a capital perspective. This affects you if you're a general aviation pilot in a way you might not immediately think about. The same economic logic applies at every level of aviation. How many of us are flying Cessna 170s and Piper Cherokees that are 40, 50, even 60 years old? We keep them flying for the same reason United keeps its 767s flying. A paid-off airplane that's well-maintained and meets the mission is often a better financial decision than a shiny new one with a payment book. The 767 itself is a fascinating airplane, by the way. It was Boeing's first wide-body twin jet. First flight was in 1981. It was designed in parallel with the 757, and the two aircraft share a common cockpit-type rating, which was revolutionary at the time. That commonality meant airlines could train pilots on both types without a completely separate training program. The 767 was also the airplane that really proved the concept of ETOPS, or extended operations. That's the certification that allows twin-engine aircraft to fly routes that take them far from diversion airports. Before ETOPS, if you wanted to cross the Atlantic, you generally needed 3 or 4 engines. The 767 helped change that, and it paved the way for every long-haul twin-engine widebody that followed, including the very 787 that's supposed to replace it. There's also a military dimension worth mentioning. The 767 airframe serves as the basis for several military variants, including the KC-46 Pegasus tanker for the United States Air Force. So even as the commercial 767 production line wound down, Boeing was still building the airframe in military configuration. That means parts, tooling, and engineering support haven't completely dried up the way they might for a truly retired type. Now, to be fair, the 767's days are numbered. United has said publicly that the type will be phased out as replacement aircraft arrive. The question isn't whether, it's when. And right now, when is dictated almost entirely by how fast Boeing can deliver Dreamliners. Every production delay in Everett and Charleston extends the 767's career by another few months. For passengers, honestly, the difference is noticeable. The 767 cabin is narrower than a 787. The windows are smaller. The air quality system is older. It's not a bad airplane by any stretch, but if you've flown a Dreamliner with its larger windows, higher cabin pressure, and better humidity, going back to a 767 feels like a step backward. But airlines don't make fleet decisions based on passenger preference alone. They make them based on available aircraft, network needs, and economics. And right now, the economics say keep the 767 flying. There's a broader lesson here for the aviation industry as a whole. Fleet planning used to be relatively predictable. You ordered airplanes, they showed up on schedule, you retired the old ones, and the cycle continued. That predictability is gone between production bottlenecks at both Boeing and Airbus, engine manufacturer delays, and the sheer volume of orders in the backlog. Airlines are having to keep older aircraft flying longer than they ever planned. United isn't unique in this. Delta is still flying 767s too, and globally, you'll find airlines operating aircraft well past their originally intended retirement dates simply because the replacements aren't available. For those of us who fly general aviation, this is a good reminder that age is just a number when it comes to airframes. What matters is maintenance, inspections, and airworthiness. A well-maintained 30-year-old airplane is safer than a neglected 5-year-old one. United 767s go through the same rigorous inspection programs as every other airplane in the fleet. They meet every airworthiness directive. They comply with every service bulletin. So the next time you're boarding a United flight to Europe and you notice the cabin looks a little dated, just know there's a very good reason that airplane is still earning its keep. That story came from the team over at Simple Flying, and they did a nice job breaking down the fleet economics. You can find more from us at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Fly safe out there.